Millie Accardi couldn't believe their luck. After losing countless bidding wars, she and her husband Enzo finally secured a beautiful 2,800 square foot home at 14 Locust Street, 10% below asking price. Moving their two children from a cramped Bronx apartment to this spacious suburban dream house seemed like everything they'd worked for during 15 years of marriage. But warning signs appeared almost immediately. Their neighbor Suzette made backhanded compliments about their small and rustic house. Across the cul-de-sac lived Janice, who rarely left home but watched everyone from her second-story window. Most unsettling was the realization that none of their windows had blinds, not a single one in 14 rooms, leaving them exposed to prying eyes. As autumn approached, strange scraping sounds began waking Millie at night, seeming to travel through the walls. Suzette's interest in Enzo became increasingly brazen, from bringing homemade meals when Millie worked late to accidentally bumping into him during morning jogs. Then there was the hidden room they discovered beneath their staircase, a small, dusty space with peculiar symbols etched into its walls. What should have been a fresh start became a descent into suspicion. The identical facades of neighboring houses seemed to mock Millie's growing paranoia, and she couldn't shake the feeling that her family had disturbed a delicate balance in this seemingly perfect neighborhood, one the other residents seemed determined to restore, no matter the cost. The Accardis' neighbors cast disturbing shadows over their new life. Across the street lived Janice, who kept her small son Spencer leashed during rare outings, paranoid after a local child's disappearance 3 years earlier. Next door, the Lowells projected domestic perfection. Suzette commanded attention with her ethereal beauty, butterscotch hair that caught light perfectly, eyes shifting between green and blue with her outfits. Their home resembled an architectural digest spread. Husband Jonathan provided stark contrast in worn jeans and plain speech, ordinary beside his wife's calculated perfection. Most unsettling was Martha, the 60-year-old housekeeper moving between houses like a shadow collecting secrets. Her weathered face and unblinking stare unnerved Millie as she appeared silently in doorways. When caught pocketing a silver heirloom, Martha simply returned it without explanation. What seemed a peaceful suburban sanctuary increasingly revealed itself as theater, neighbors performing rehearsed roles with the Accardis as unwitting players who didn't know their lines, a situation growing dangerous as masks began to slip. As summer turned to autumn, Millie's suspicions about her husband intensified. She discovered Enzo's muddy boot prints on Suzette's lawn, caught him lying, and one night witnessed him returning at 3 a.m. with headlights off, slipping into bed fully clothed and smelling of jasmine perfume. Financial problems emerged when $1,000 vanished from their joint account, money for their daughter's orthodontics. When a $300 check bounced, Suzette covered it with her Black American Express. The children's behavior deteriorated. 11-year-old Nico escalated from playground shoving to breaking another child's nose and deliberately throwing at batters, earning a Little League suspension. 9-year-old Ada became a worried miniature adult, checking doors obsessively, hoarding food, and developing stomach aches before school. Nico's deception crumbled when his story about working at the Lowells fell apart. When questioned, he claimed to be practicing baseball alone, yet carried only muddy clothes and a notebook he refused to explain. The hidden room beneath the staircase embodied the Accardi home's secrets. Millie first noticed scratching sounds at night that intensified during storms. When their children vanished, her desperate search revealed a nearly imperceptible seam in the wallpaper, a hidden door. Inside the cramped 6x8 space lit by a single bulb, they found Ada and Nico. The room contained peeling yellow wallpaper, rusty nails, old newspapers, and Nico's comics. He'd discovered this clubhouse while following a spider. Though Ada described it in her diary as suffocatingly small and dusty, and despite parental prohibitions, the room mysteriously drew Nico, who began sleepwalking toward it. The discovery became chilling when Ada found a similar concealed space in the Lowell's house, this one maintained and clearly in use, with children's toys and a twin bed covered by a handmade quilt hiding sheets with dark brown stains. The fragile balance shattered when Millie found Jonathan Lowell murdered in his home, throat slit and blood pooling around him. When Enzo returned that night with blood on his hands and shirt, despite claiming a work injury, Millie feared the worst. Detective Willard built a case against Enzo. He'd illegally purchased a gun with their joint account and allegedly met Suzette at a motel. Jonathan had a substantial life insurance policy, naming Suzette as beneficiary. Enzo denied an affair, claiming he'd been helping Martha, their elderly cleaning woman, escape an abusive husband. Millie's doubts intensified when police found Jonathan's blood on Enzo's pocket knife, despite cleaning attempts. When confronted, Enzo confessed, "I am the one who killed Jonathan." As police led him away in handcuffs, Millie prepared to tell their children. But the truth twisted again when she found Ada sobbing with a shocking confession. "I was the one who killed him." The horror unfolded through Ada's eyes. As the new girl at school, she noticed her brother's strange behavior after starting chores at the Lowell's house. Nico eventually confessed. He'd found a hidden room with expensive toys at the Lowell's. When caught, Mr. Lowell claimed Nico broke something valuable and offered a deal. Nico would test toys while being recorded. The door stayed locked. Once, Nico even wet himself when denied bathroom access. When Nico tried refusing, Lowell threatened their family's financial ruin or death. Though Ada promised secrecy, she resolved to confront Lowell. Armed with her father's pocket knife, Ada discovered the hidden room with toys and a child's bed with disturbing stains. When Lowell found her, she stabbed him to escape. Enzo took the blame to protect Ada. After learning the truth, Millie called Enzo's lawyer. The situation worsened when police found evidence linking the room to missing child Braden Lundy and discovered Suzette had known her husband was a predator, yet still allowed the Accardi children to visit. 2 weeks after Suzette confessed to killing Jonathan in self-defense, the Accardi family began healing. Charges against Enzo were dropped, and Ada's involvement remained their secret. At school, when taunted about her father, Ada threatened a boy so effectively he fled, calling her a psychopath. But neither Enzo nor Ada killed Jonathan. It was Martha, the housemaid, who recognized Millie as Wilhelmina Calloway, a murderer from years ago. Martha saw the Accardis as her escape from an abusive husband. During a theft attempt, Martha unexpectedly encountered Mr. Lowell. When he threatened to call police, she panicked and killed him with a letter opener. After Suzette's confession, Martha waited for police, who never came. I suppose nobody ever suspects the housemaid. Behind Locust Street's perfect facades lurked the darkest human impulses. Evil often wears an ordinary face, and those we trust most may harbor dangerous secrets.